Hi, I'm Chloe Biru. Welcome to the Chats by Chloe. For more than 10 years, the Chloe platform brings inspiring stories about people and travel on different channels, newsletters, the Chloe magazine, and this podcast. Access our Instagram at ByChloe and subscribe for free. Ah, and follow me on my Instagram account at Chloe Ribeiro. She's fearless. In 2012, among the gigantic retail industry in New York City, she opened a five-story, a fashion townhouse in Uptown. Now, just after giving birth to her first child, Claire decided to also give life to an idea, a lifestyle that she always pursued. Elevate the concept of healthy snacks, launching Dada Daily. I can tell that after this talk, we will learn a lot about discipline and time management. Ladies and gentlemen, Claire Ocean. Hi, Claire. Thanks for coming for our podcast today.
So happy to be here.
Can you describe how and when Dada first came out?
So I concepted Dada in reality when I was about 14 years old. I was obsessed with health food. I just was obsessed with the idea that food can make you live longer, food can cure a disease. I was just like looking around the room. Once I started getting intrigued by that notion, I started looking around the room saying, why isn't everyone obsessed with health food? But back then, it wasn't cool.
Yeah, it was not even a trend.
Not a trend, and I was weird for it. My brother used to make fun of me, and my parents were like, what are you doing? So I just always kept it as like a secret part of my life. And then, you know, fast forward 10 years, it was becoming very trendy. And everyone used to say to me, oh, you must be so excited that you can do all those weird things you do on every corner.
What kind of weird things?
Like juicing and wheatgrass and, you know, eating raw food or, you know, sugar-free, because I've been really against sugar for a long time. And I actually looked around at the health food industry and I was like, I don't like the way that it's being packaged. I think it's being packaged as a restrictive, kind of masculine-oriented, like, no this, no dairy, no gluten. Yeah. Here's a diet, go on this diet, then go on this diet. And I was like, that's not how I see it. You know, I see it as a place of joy and liberty and freedom. I go to a farmer's market. I was like, I can eat anything here. You go to a health food store and you just feel like alive. Like, this is where, like, food comes from. And so I wanted to just start something that to change the conversation, but it took me a lot of time and courage, and I finally decided to do it about 2 years ago.
And when you were 13, 14, what kind of like diet, not diet, but what kind of lifestyle you were having about food? Like, what kind of things did you eat at the time?
So I have always said that I want to know what's in my food. I would like to look at an ingredient list and only see, you know, a handful of things. I'd like to understand those things. I just always realized that processed food will just stay in your body. Your body can't process processed foods, ironically. So for me, it was just, nothing was ever off limits.
Yeah.
It was just, it had to be well-sourced. It had to be real food. And in reality, that's the way most people eat outside of America, right? They sit around a table.
Yep.
Someone's cooking a meal.
Yep.
And even if I was ordering in, because that's how we do, you know, these days in New York, I was ordering in mindfully. You know, you could call a restaurant and say, hey, is that fish wild or farmed? You know, where's your chicken from? It takes 2 seconds. And it really, I think, energetically has changed
me. And at that time, like the foods that you buy at the supermarket, they were not labeled, right? It was, I don't know if it was part of the law here.
So I wasn't that crazy when I was young. I just ate what my mother made.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was eating macaroni and cheese out of a box for a really long time. And then I looked at her and I was like, I'm not going to stop eating macaroni and cheese, but if you want to make it, like, make it for me. Like, don't give me a box.
Mm-hmm.
It was just switching, like, it was baby steps to get where I am today, which is not crazy, but, like, my husband calls me crazy. But, like, I just think I'm just really mindful of it.
And when was the turning point? Is that, like, tomorrow I'm going to start sketches, I'm going to start cooking something here, give it to my friends? How did you?
So I was having actually a really hard time finding snacks. I would see the front of a snack and be like, oh, that looks interesting. And then I would look at the back and the ingredients were like canola oil or, you know, fried or it just was like pissing me off. And so I would talk about it, and I would complain about it. And I was walking one Sunday through Washington Square Park, and my husband, who I love dearly, mm-hmm. looks at me and says, can I curse? Says, if you don't fucking do this, then you can't talk about this ever again. Oh. And I was like, what? He's like, you've been talking about what you want and what you don't see on the market and what you wish there was. And he's like, if you want to do this, I'll help you. But if you're not going to do it, literally never bring it up ever again.
Yeah.
So I like obviously started crying on the spot. And I was like, why are you yelling at me? And he just said, I'm not yelling. I'm just really trying to like push you either way. And so we sat down that day and I just put pen to paper and I was like, this is what I feel like I should do. I want a vegetable chip that actually looks like a vegetable, that keeps the integrity of the vegetable. Like I always saw on the market, there was like, it said like cauliflower broccoli chip and you'd open it up and it looked like a potato chip. And you're like, where's the cauliflower and broccoli? Yeah, yeah. So I was like, what if we opened up a bag of Brussels sprouts and it actually just was Brussels sprouts
uh-huh.
or a bag of cabbage. And it yeah. was like beautiful cabbage petals soaked in every superfood that you should ever have. So that's kind of how it all started.
And then the strategy to start, we were talking before we even started here about you're going to officially launch it soon,
mm-hmm.
but you started like talking with friends and kind of like experiencing and listening to what they were tasting, right? Mm-hmm. We would talk about when you found Five Story,
mm-hmm.
but did you think about selling there, like having a corner, like, or you're separating things? How you started, like the first steps about the distribution?
Yeah. So I would say one about just like advice. I thought I was superwoman. I thought I could be pregnant, launch a company, have birth, you know, like I thought I could do it all. And the reality is I couldn't. And I think—
And by the way, your baby, it's only like—
Is 8 months old. And the company's like 5 months old. And I would say to like most people that everyone is so rushed. Everyone is so like, if I don't go to the market right now, someone else is going to do it.
Yeah.
My first piece of advice, like never go to the market unless something is perfect. Like really, really perfect. And I didn't know that. And so I rushed to the market thinking everything was right and it wasn't right. And I knew that within like a first 2 weeks. So I said, you know what? I'm going to call this a soft launch and I'm going to really perfect everything I've done
mm-hmm.
in the next, you know, 6 months. And then I'm going to officially launch the way I really want to. And I think that it's just like, it was a learning curve. And if you can never let it like get you down and discourage you, you should really just learn from like all these little bumps in the road. And I probably should have learned everything because I had started Five Story 9 years ago, which is a very long time ago. I don't have that good of a memory. But this was like a really new project. I, you know, as I said, I had just had a baby.
Yeah.
I was jumping into an industry that I always wanted to be in.
But how did you find time?
So Five Story—
You have already
yeah.
a company that it's out there for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're about to have your baby.
Yeah.
Like, how can you just—
So how do you find time?
Yeah.
One, you can't do anything unless you have people around you that you really trust and that are amazing people mm-hmm. that inspire you. And I'm not joking. Even from the nanny that takes care of my baby to the people that work for Five Story to the people that work for Dada, they are the most incredible people I know. And I call them all family. So I don't think I could have done any of it without that team. Five Story, as I said, it's like a 9-year-old kid. It goes to school all day. It's like— It works on its
yeah,
own.
Yeah.
It's my first child, but it's really self-sufficient. The rest of it, it was really hard. I didn't really understand what life was supposed to look like after you have a kid or what. And I remember just like looking at other people and being like, oh, but she's doing it. And that looks like what life's supposed to look like. That's not the way you should do it. You should literally look inside yourself and say, like, what actually, like, makes me happy during the day? Who makes me happy during the day? You know, how much time do I actually want to spend with my kid? And how much time do I want to spend with myself? And I remember the beginning, I was like, I need to be with my child from the minute he wakes up to the minute he goes to sleep. And while that made me really happy, I was sacrificing a lot of myself. And so I think it's like a math equation like anything else. It's like, okay, if I spend – right now, you know, I spend 2 hours with him in the morning. Mm-hmm. I spend 2 hours with him every day at the end of the day. And it feels really sufficient.
It's intense, right?
You're not doing anything else. Exactly. There's no phones. There's no nothing. Yeah. I'm really present. That's not the right equation for other people, but I had to find that. I had to literally shut out the world of what other people were doing and find what was right for me. And now, you know, I go to sleep at night being like, okay, I feel fulfilled. I did my work. I did my family.
Work number one, work number two.
The husband thing sometimes is the hardest because you take them the most for granted. But yeah, I think it's just like finding your own math equation.
And what is the balance that you have now about working in a fashion world that it's always changing, and you're always looking for new designers? Mm-hmm. And also, like, how can you find a way to get a certain amount of hours for Five Story and other hours for Dada?
I think you have to be just like a very organized person or have a very organized person around you. I used to be way more like spontaneous, like, oh, I'll do, you know, this when it comes. Like, no, I mean, my calendar to me is like a Bible. Like, everything is scheduled.
I'm curious because, like, when I don't finish the last detail about the magazine, mm-hmm. I cannot even produce a campaign for another brand. Right. So, like, I'm very attached to what I'm doing right now. So mm-hmm. It's very interesting that you can do both.
But I separate it by days. I think that's also really important. Mm-hmm. I used to, like, run to do, like, oh, I'll do 3 hours here and I'll do 2 hours here.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. I think when you really want to get stuff done, you have to block out a day. So I spend a day at Five Story. Sometimes it takes a whole day. Sometimes it doesn't. But at least I have that day blocked out. So I'm not always thinking about, okay, if I get in my car now and I go down and I do this, it's just like – you have to really respect each project
yeah.
and respect the time that it needs, because then you end up doing half a job on everything.
Yeah.
And I always say, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. You want to just be the master at everything when you can.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what I was saying about Dada. Like, you just have to, like, be really patient with your time. Like, I used to rush a lot. I used to try to get everything done. Just things get better if you relax.
So let's talk a little bit about when you launched Five Story, mm-hmm. because then we will connect
yeah.
to brands. How old were you and how everything came up?
So I was 23 years old and I had grown up on the Upper East Side my whole life. I had lived in New York pretty much my whole life. I lived in Paris for 1 year. And so I was really uninspired by the retail landscape. I mean, this is a long time ago, but I just didn't find that there was any place to discover new brands I didn't find that fashion, there was a place where fashion wasn't about trends and that fashion wasn't about like the hot, cool thing. Mm-hmm. I wanted to like create a place that was just about beauty and elegance and timelessness and have that be
a different experience, more exclusive.
Exactly.
Right?
Like it was about experiential retail and it was about the classicism of like fashion.
Yeah.
But it wasn't boring. I didn't want it to be boring. And to be honest, like that's the same thing with Dada. Like I don't want it to be, I never want it to be about a trendy diet or being keto or being paleo. It's just a brand that's supposed to be about like the beauty and elegance of timelessness, of just understanding like how one simple notion can streamline your whole life and like make you happier. Like, I think throughout both companies, the adjective that means the most to me is joy. That like clothing should bring you joy and it should bring you joy forever. You shouldn't buy something and then a week later be like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed by this. Like it should make you happy.
But being like such a young girl, you still are such a young girl, but like it's a tough business, especially in New York and especially uptown.
Oh my God! You were not afraid at all. Well,
and
you're not afraid when you're really young.
Yeah. That's what
way
I was
more afraid
to say.
Now than I was
so,
at 23.
So this was something kind of like good because mm-hmm. you were not afraid, and then what did you feel like about the clients, the customers that you had? Like what what's the style for your clients there?
So I think when you're young, you're a little like punky and you're like, oh yeah, no, I can do this. I can do anything. It's hard. It's hard. You know, I went to the Upper East Side because I knew it, but I also went because I was like, oh, it's like a really high-end clientele. They'll understand. They totally understand. I love them to death. But the higher the end clientele, the more they expect from you. The more someone spends, the more they expect from you back in return, which is, by the way, totally okay. But then you have to show up 100% of the time in 100% of the way. And that's really hard because it's you can't just have a perfect score every time. So, you know, when we mess up, like, we get the brunt of it. So it's not easy. The landscape of retail in the last 9 years has been crazy. We had to build out a website. We had to do all of these things. And all of a sudden, you know, we're this like...
You cannot just focus like only for the real experience about the offline, right? It's... You have to be everywhere. It's
you have to be everywhere.
Thing about us.
And listen, content. People also, they'll be like, oh, you know, your competitor like Moda Operandi or Bergdorf Goodman. And we look at them. We're like, those are beasts. Those are humongous companies. We have one store. We're like a very happy company, but we're small. And so, you know, it's upkeep. It's like
and
keeping
that's your
up.
Power.
Right. Right. So we're nimble. We can do things. We can do things really quickly. We can speak to clients. That's a big thing for us has just been always talking to our clients and knowing what they want and giving them what they want. We just launched our private label brand and we just actually launched with products that people have requested.
You're the
that
designer for the brand?
So it's been a real kind of baby of the whole team. It's been like six people on it. And that's, I mean, that's been really fun and exciting, but...
And you already launched the collection for your online now?
Yeah, so it's in store now. We started slow. We started 2 years ago with these Moroccan caftans. And then we did berets. Then we did headbands. Now we have a whole bag line and we have sweater sets. And we're just building it. And it hasn't. Everyone's like, what is the connection between a Moroccan caftan and a headband? And I was like, there is
travel?
None.
It's maybe like the...
Exactly. Our client travels and this is what they've wanted from us. And so we just make what they want. And that's really it. It's like not rocket science. But, and going back to the whole thing of joy, it's like, to me, you know, joy is like, if you can get joy from aesthetics, like you can get joy from like seeing, you know, an abundance of food. Whenever someone sees like 100 flowers, everyone gets smiles. You know, when they see like confetti everywhere, like those are like universal notions of joy. So for me, it's just like, okay, I just want to like bring that to people. And that's why the aesthetics of Dada have been so, so important for me. Like everyone's like, you're spending
art.
A little too much time on the Instagram. And I was like,
it's beautiful.
No, but that's just as important.
It's beautiful.
You want people to like take pride in what they, when they snack. Like snacking is just as important as the shampoo you use or the clothing you wear or the restaurant you go to. It's like you're eating food. It shouldn't be like a dirty bar that you get in a bodega that you don't feel good about or that you like a bag of chips that you like are embarrassed that you ate the whole thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's.
And what is the like the biggest lesson from Five Story that you know that you're not doing again for Dada?
So I would say for Five Story, you know, I was like, I don't know this industry. I'm just going to trust, you know, everyone and I'm going to hire all these people that are smarter than I am, which by the way, it's always better to know your weaknesses before you go into anything and then hire people that are stronger than you in those weaknesses. But I just hired people that knew the industry. And I was like, oh, if I hired people that knew the industry and I remember—
Are you a perfectionist or no?
I'm a perfectionist 80% of the time, but then I'm not. Like I also, I'm like— very weirdly, like the messiest human you ever met. Like I need some part of my life to be chaos. And right now it's just my closet.
Oh, yeah. You have your baby. You have two companies. Yeah. Like you already have that. And the husband.
And the husband. He's great. You met him. He's the best. But I would say that I hired all these people that worked in the industry that I didn't know. And I just blindly listened to them because I was like, oh, I don't know. And like there were so many guttural things that didn't feel right. But I was like, they know better. But women especially, and I shouldn't be stereotyping, but like women know in their gut when something's off or wrong and you have to really trust yourself. You wouldn't have started a business if you didn't actually really trust yourself. So I would say respect, you know, people's opinions, but like always come back to yourself. And that's kind of what I'm doing in Dada. Obviously, I've never worked a day in health food in my life. So I really
have it was all about your passion and your own needs. So
it's about listening to people's advice, but not always taking it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really it.
And we were talking about the product. So you have the chocolate. What's different about the truffle? The lip?
Yeah. So we have, I already talked about the Brussels sprouts and the cabbage, and they have, you know, every superfood you ever want in it. And then we have these chocolate truffles. One's a matcha latte truffle and one's a Shisandra berry truffle. For me, I'm obsessed with chocolate, like obsessed. But I never found that I could find one that didn't have, that was sugar-free in the right way. Mm-hmm. Most of the sugar-free chocolates you find on the market have a lot of chemicals in them.
Yeah.
Even if they're like stevia, they add all these.
Stevia.
Yeah, but they still add sugar alcohols and like these weird like erythritols and like crazy things. Mm. And they don't taste good. I always felt like I was eating them and I was like, it wasn't the comforting feeling of chocolate. So we went out to create a chocolate that used very little coconut sugar. So we have 8 grams of sugar in the whole package, which is really nothing. And then also that like was good for you. It wasn't just chocolate. It was actually good for you. So we put Shisandra berry.
Guilty free.
We put Shisandra berry in our chocolate lips. We also made them in these cute little lip shapes. Shisandra berry is an adaptogen, which basically is a plant that grows in really stressful climates. So instead of these plants dying, so like Shisandra's grown in the Himalayan mountains. So instead of its cellular makeup ruining the plant, it actually thrives. So in Chinese medicine, these adaptogens are what combats the body from stress, anxiety, and actually just helps your adrenal system work better. So I was learning about all these things and I was like, what? Like in Chinese medicine, they would never prescribe you a Xanax. They would literally give you adaptogens. So I was like, why are we not putting this?
You get goosebumps when you say that because I was watching a documentary about it and that's the truth.
It's the truth is that, by the way, it's like nature for everything. Nature has the medicine for everything. It might not be as quick as putting a pill in your mouth, but it can cure you. So I was like, this is really cool notion. I'm going to put them in these little tiny chocolate lips. Some people care about that. Some people don't. People are like, this tastes delicious. But it really does, you know, it really does help. Mm-hmm. And so then for the matcha latte truffles, I'm obsessed with matcha. I've been never drank coffee, always drank matcha. We use a vegan white chocolate, which is like a really delicious, delicious combo with the matcha. And we put maca root in it. So maca root is another Chinese medicine herb, and it helps with stamina, focus. It doesn't really give you energy, but it like really just helps you like sit down and focus. Wow. It also strangely is a hormone balancer. So it is a libido booster for men and women.
Good.
So it is the Viagra equivalent in Chinese medicine. They do say that, you know, it helps women with fertility issues. Like it has all these superpowers that I don't think you're going to like solve all your problems when you eat one truffle. But like they do say that there's been tons of studies that
it's
really
all
has
about
helped.
The choices that you make. And if you're going to eat chocolate, just,
eat this. This will only do good. It will never do bad. And we also threw pea protein in there because we knew that we were a vegan company and vegans are always looking for protein.
Yeah.
So there's 8 grams of protein in our truffles.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
And right now, where are the points of distribution? Like you have your website where we can order online?
Yes.
And what's the plan or what you already have out there?
So as I said, I was like very hesitant to put it out in the world because I was just refining the company for the last 5 months. So you could definitely buy on our website. You can find it at Bonberry in the West Village. You can find it at Clover Grocery, also in the West Village. Mm-hmm. One program I did was a hotel mini bar program.
Oh, great.
Which I've always loved a hotel mini bar.
Me too.
But I hate when I come home and all I want is something and like peanut M&Ms are the only thing staring me in the face. So we are at the Marlton and the Ludlow and the Mercer right now in their mini bars. And we're hoping to roll that out to be in. So look in your mini bar. I mean, it's obviously going to be $5 more than it should be, but it's the best $5 extra that you'll ever spend. And yeah, we're going to do we want to do wholesale, but we just want to make sure everything's perfect. You can't ever like go to Whole Foods unless you're.
So for now, for our listeners, they're in New York, they can find it here.
Yes.
Okay. So you have this whole thing about the brand, the colors, and it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. What is the inspiration about it? It's very different.
So it's funny because I am like an aesthetic fanatic. I mean, like I'll steal things when, like I remember the first time I went to Caviar Caspia, I was a junior in college, so I was like 20. And I was so obsessed with the place.
Mm. Why?
Because I just thought it was everything that sums me up. It was old world, classic.
Yeah.
It felt proper. It felt like there was value. Everything I ever wanted in my life, whether it's Five Story or Dada or sitting in a restaurant, it's to feel like I got value from the dollar I spent. So in Five Story, I always say to people, like, you can, like, don't buy this if you don't think you're going to wear it to a black tie event, to breakfast on, like, let's, like, rewear our stuff. Let's have this forever. Let's, you know that, like, this isn't, like, a one and done.
Yeah.
And same thing with, like, Dada. Like, I was, like, one of our big things is, like, bring your snacks to the dinner table or dinner party, because we want our snacks to be so beautiful that you're sitting at a chic dinner party and you open up one of those bags and you start serving it as an hors d'oeuvre, or you put a truffle on everyone's plate for dessert.
It's amazing.
But you can also eat it at, you know, 2 a.m. by yourself on your couch because you're like, I need something sweet. So, yeah, so value to me has been really important. And so aesthetically, I've always wanted to, like, bring value in the aesthetics. I always wanted it to be really beautiful, really inspirational. For us, I think the inspiration has been, like, my whole life. I worked in art before I worked in fashion.
Yeah, that's kind of like what we can see, that there is art, there is fashion, and then you have the snack. So
right.
It's a mix of all of your passions for different segments, and you have it there.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And how is your daily routine?
Daily routine. So
now we're kind of going to the quick questions to tell how do you manage this?
You got to wake up early.
Yeah.
So daily routine is I wake up early. I wake up at 6. I meditate for 10 minutes. It's something that I lost right after I had a baby, and I brought it back in the last, like, it's just like sacrificing. Honestly, I used to wake up 6:30. Now I wake up 6. But I only get 10 minutes in, and it's good enough for me. Then I make a bottle for my baby, and then I spend, you know, an hour and a half to 2 hours with him, unadulterated, nothing. That being said, I've kind of cut out exercise, which has been really not okay for me. So I'm trying to figure out how to bring that back in. So I hang out with the baby, get dressed, start the day. Ritual-wise, you know, I take my vitamins, I do my matcha, I have a juice. Those three things are like holy grail for me. Like, I need to do those three things every single morning. And then, you know, the day's wild. The day's crazy. You're like running and doing and whatever, but, you know.
But do you eat at home or you eat at the office?
So as you saw, I brought a Brodo cup with me. I'm obsessed with Brodo. I will like eat it all day long.
So now I can trust, because if you're drinking, because it's not like there's no salt on it.
No.
Nothing.
It's not sodium free, but it is, I do water it down a little bit, but it is really clean. So you can get vegan broth, you can get chicken broth, you can get beef broth, and you can put anything in them. For me, it's like such good fuel. I eat a lot of my own snacks. Our Brussels sprouts have 12 grams of fiber and 12 grams of protein, 10 grams of fiber. So for me, like between the Brodo and the juice in the morning and one of my Dada snacks, like I'm actually good. And then no matter what, I am home between 4 and 5 to play with my babe.
That's a great time.
And I give a bath, and I do it, and he goes to sleep at 5:30, which is crazy. So by the time he's asleep, I have like other side of day.
Yeah.
So sometimes I have to work another hour. Sometimes I'm just like, you know what? I need to just stare at the wall for an hour.
Wow.
And then I'm like you. Like, I love to go out. I love to be social. I love to have a drink. I love to just do all the craziness, but in like a me way. And like my self-care is just like being around people I like, doing what I like, not having to think so hard, eating a big, delicious dinner. And no matter what, I'm in bed. Well, not no matter what. During the week, no matter what, I'm in bed by 10:30. There's like no pushing that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And on the weekend, it's different. But when you have a baby, you can't sleep in. So the earlier you get to bed, the more sleep you get. Yeah.
So thinking about more restaurants that you could suggest us about good food in New York, what would you recommend?
So it's funny. I think San Ambrose is doing a really good job. Ali, the general manager for a lot of them, he actually cares. So that's a safe one to go to. Strangely, this restaurant called Kraft, you know, it opened forever ago. Mm. It's not cool, but it's the best meal. It is so well sourced. They like
you can trust the food.
They can like they write every single farm that they get every single thing on the menu from. It's right near my house, so I love it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, all the ABCs are really good. ABCV, ABC Kitchen. What else do I really trust? Westbourne.
Oh, I've never been,
So she's actually become a really good friend. Westbourne does a really, really good job. She really cares. Even her wines are natural.
Oh.
New on the radar, and I've been six times in the last like 3 weeks, is the Standard Grill relaunched with Rocco DiSpirito. And he went above and beyond to the point where the entire menu, you'll never know, but the entire menu is dairy-free and gluten-free. So you're going to be eating something and you're thinking it's cheese and you're thinking it's cream. And I thought I was being so naughty. And I asked the waiter, I was like, just tell me like how much dairy is in this pasta. And he's like, no, it's cashew cream. And I was like, wow. You're joking. So that's been a really good one.
And it's not something that they're imposing or like advertising.
You'd have
just
no
like, that's the way that
idea.
It is.
You Great. Literally would have no idea.
I'm gonna try.
And yeah, so those are a few. I'm trying to think if there's any other that I love.
And do you have any advice for young working women trying to lead this healthy lifestyle about meditating and eating the right things? Like, what would you recommend for someone that is listening to us? And
I would say it's not be right now. Kind to yourself. I used to be so black and white. I used to be like, okay, I'm going to be healthy. So everything has to be organic and I have to meditate for 20 minutes sitting in like cross-legged on the floor and everything has to be perfect. And I was like,
Do you think that the pregnancy changed you?
100%. Pregnancy makes you realize that one, something is way more important than you.
Yeah.
And two, that like you have to be gentle on yourself. I always was very mindful about my energetic like levels. Like when I didn't want to send bad energy to my baby. So I was like, it's okay if I can only meditate for 5 minutes, and it's okay if I'm doing it in a cab, and it's okay if I'm doing it while lying in my bed. Like, it's okay if I'm going to eat something that's really bad for me, but I really just want it. And like, I used to be so crazy. I'm still crazy. Like, my husband thinks I'm insane, but like, I'll be crazy until it's not possible. So I'll ask the guy like, oh, is, you know, how are the chickens farmed? And my husband's like, can you
stop?
Crawl under the, and the guy will be like, I really have no idea what you're talking about. And I'll be like, okay, I'm going to have the chicken. Like, I'll eat it anyway, but I like, you know, it's
I like to ask for.
So, you know, I'm not, I would say just be kind, do your best. No day is going to be perfect. Please just get the word perfect out of your head. And I think once you start like just opening your energy levels to just doing the best, you're actually just so much happier. It's everything's like a little bit more relaxed. Like you're just like, okay, I didn't exercise today. Nothing's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Literally nothing's gonna happen. And I got that perspective from having a baby. But I wish I had that perspective when I was younger.
Amazing. Claire, we learned a lot.
Okay,
it was a great talk. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Paulo Ribeiro, and you just listened to the Chats by Claire. If you like this episode, please subscribe to our channel and receive the new ones right away. Oh, and please rate and review. Thank you, and I'll see you soon.